Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he called to him his 12. Just to get this out of the way, in confirmation, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about three terms: God's kingdom of power, his kingdom of grace, his kingdom of glory. His kingdom of power is that God exercises his power and none can withstand him. His kingdom of power is all-encompassing, and even those who will not believe in him are within the kingdom of power. The kingdom of grace is how he brings his kingdom to us through his word, through his gospel, through the blood of Jesus, through the forgiveness of sins, bringing us into the kingdom of salvation. And then the kingdom of glory is, well, it is heaven. And it is what will happen when Jesus returns. And we pray earnestly for the kingdom of grace to extend through the whole world, for the kingdom of glory to come. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. The kingdom of power. For somebody to be in God's kingdom of power but not in the kingdom of grace would mean that they are lost. And then into the text, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Thy kingdom come. And then, pause. Then he called together his disciples and sent them out. Pause long enough for the disciples to have a chance to say, thy kingdom come. And then things start rolling. There's a pattern here. What happens then in your life when you sit down and you pray the Lord's Prayer and you pray, thy kingdom come, and God decides to loop that petition around and head it back to you and say, do you really mean that? Do you really want the kingdom of God to come? Are you willing to? Oh, and then things open up, don't they? What are you willing to do so that the kingdom of God might come? Now consider. Okay, here is the law part. Jesus looks out over the crowd and he sees them, sheep without a shepherd. Which didn't mean they didn't have religious leaders. They had lots of religious leaders. They didn't have a shepherd. They didn't have one to care for the souls and to connect them to God through his means of grace, through his promises in Jesus Christ. And so with all the religious leaders they had, they were following in the wrong direction and they were lost. And as you look out over the vast multitude of humanity, it is the same thing in our day. Umpteen multitudes wandering off from God into an eternity of being lost. It is where our souls would have been but for the gospel. And it is a terrible thing. And Jesus looks over the crowd and sheep without a shepherd. And now what does he say? How does he take that? Because we could look out over the multitudes that surround us. And what Jesus says is very revealing. He says, the fields are white for the harvest. He doesn't say, the world's gone all to heck and people just, they don't know what's right and wrong anymore and just don't know what to do. He says, There's a harvest waiting. Because you see, when the gospel is there, when the gospel is preached, it will touch lost hearts. It will call and tug and draw people to God. This message of salvation in Jesus Christ, this message of sins forgiven, and to set Jesus before the world truthfully and in as much clarity and with as much passion as we can, is going out into a field that is white for the harvest. Another bit of applying the law is that we don't always see that, do we? And so we wonder and we get discouraged and feel like we're on the defensive. Oh, the forces of evil keep on rising against us. But wait a minute. Jesus said, the fields are white for the harvest, and he was looking out over much the same condition. Religious leaders in his days, among the Jewish people, who told people how to earn their way into salvation, and then the very strange practices of all the nations around. Let's not go into those. But it should look very familiar. The law. The second petition may be dangerous. Because if you pray this petition and if you are serious about it, well, all bets are off. Where could God put you in terms of being used for his kingdom to come? And realize that he doesn't have to work at satisfying your desire for what life should be about. He doesn't even have to take that into consideration. He has his own agenda and his own plans, his own kingdom, and he is in the business of gathering souls from every nation and people and tribe and language. And I guess here we're kind of shifting toward the gospel because Jesus is doing that. But what's it going to mean? Well, anything could happen. The story of a little girl in the Old Testament, thy kingdom come. And one of the armies in the neighboring countries comes and invades, and she's carried away into captivity, and now she's going to live as a slave. And in the course of her slavery, she notices that her master has leprosy and says, if only he would go and see the prophet that's in Israel. And her master does and ends up coming back as a believer. That would be Naaman the Syrian. Question to the little girl, which I actually want to meet her in heaven and ask her this. And I know the answer already, but I want to hear her say it. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to be carried away captive so that that soul could be brought into the kingdom of heaven? A few Sundays back, I mentioned a young lady in Southern Illinois by the name of Tara. In high school, struck down with leukemia. Is it worth it? She would die. But in the course of facing that, she gave her witness. Her three rules: no crying, God's in charge, Jesus still loves me. And she enforced that everybody that came into her room to visit her in the hospital would have to repeat those back to her. Was it worth it? What do you think she'd say? For a student, now away from home at college, at a university, who goes into class and professor first day says, "Is there any Missouri Synod Lutherans here?" He says, "I raised my hand." He says, "Every day since then, the professor mocks me personally and my faith." Does that in front of the whole class. He says, "What do I do? Is it worth it? Because in his witness, others are hearing about Jesus Christ. And he may not even see the results, but there may be somebody there who begins to take the gospel seriously. I go to the hospitals. I visit people who are struck down with this disease and that condition, and all of a sudden, life has taken a turn and they didn't expect it. And half the time you can see them having it right on their faces. Lord God, what do you have in mind right now? Why are you steering my life in this way? And yet, walking down the hall in the hospital, you can tell very often which rooms have the Christians in them. They're the rooms where you can sometimes hear prayers. Or you go in and there's a Bible. And the person may be wrestling with the uncertainties of living in faith and following God when life has taken this unexpected turn, but in their prayers and in their witnesses, doctors and nurses who come in, patients who are placed in the same room, get to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it worth it? So the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," may end up being a very dangerous prayer, because when you pray that, you are opening yourself up to, "Lord, whatever you have in mind to use my life for your kingdom to come, somewhere, somehow, may it come to me and through me." And at some point you realize that you're following a Jesus who, well, in the words of Chronicles of Narnia, "Is he safe?" Response: safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. This is our Jesus. And to follow him could mean anything. All of the possibilities are open, and you have no clue and no say in how God is going to sort out the days and the years to come. Is he safe? Is he maybe dangerous? Well, one thing we do know: he is good. And all that he does is built around extending his kingdom and giving eternal life to us and through us. in words and in witness and in acts of love that we show to our neighbor, that kingdom of God reaching out and stretching out and calling the lost and calling those in darkness and calling those separated from God, calling them to come close. And who knows what he's going to have to do to reach some? Is he safe? I guess another question is, well, do you want to walk with a safe God? Or do you want to walk with a truly good and powerful God who you know at the end will bring you into eternal life and there will be endless blessings, and you know that is for sure? And all along the way from here until there, well, it's an adventure. You know what they say about adventures? Another book. They make you late for dinner. Okay. But it's the scenic route. And there's stories to tell from them. And the stories that come with us from this life and into eternity will be stories that we will share. And we'll get to sit and listen to others, like that little girl from Israel, like Tara, like that student in the university, like so many others who have given their witness. This is our life. And it doesn't mean that when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," that you should immediately go and find that dangerous thing or that risky thing in life. What it means is that you are saying to God, out of all of the things that I could desire in life, I think your kingdom is first. Lord, do with me as you will. Now comes the third part where we get really into the gospel part. Realize who prayed this prayer and who taught us to pray this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it, Lord Jesus? Was it worth it? The praying in agony in Gethsemane, the being arrested and beaten and the crown of thorns and the mocking and the spitting, was it worth it? And the carrying the cross and the nails and the hands and the feet and the bleeding and the dying and the being laid in the tomb, and is it worth it? The letter to the Hebrews says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the answer is there. Yes, it was worth it. You know why it was worth it? Because the Lord Jesus says to you, looking at you, you were worth it. And that's an amazing thing. In Jesus' name, amen.